This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
You know what, Matthew? I'm thinking of making a new website.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, I'm going to use Squarespace because I don't want to code. I mean, I want a website without all the grunt
the rigmarole?
Work. Yeah, all without getting my hands dirty.
Yes, well, yeah, I think Squarespace is the way to go. They've got over 20 beautifully professionally designed templates. It's drag and drop. It works on any device. What could possibly be easier?
What could go wrong? I'll go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when I'm ready to launch, I'm going to use the offer code SPILLED to save 10% off my first purchase of a website or a domain. I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today, we're talking about rutabagas.
No, we're not. We're talking about turnips.
I did put some rutabaga information on here because I figure we're probably not going to do a separate rutabaga episode.
I love rutabaga.
Let's get there. But let's start with turnips.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have any turnip memory lane? Because I actually do.
No. I remember, like, hearing about turnips and thinking they seemed scary. We didn't have them in my house, really.
I remember sometime when I was young, my mom offering me a bite of raw turnip like this was something really special, and I loved it.
Really?
Yeah. And I still love raw turnip. It's delicious and so beautifully crunchy.
It is so underused. I've never eaten raw turnip before.
I mean, it's like a little bit like a mild radish.
Like a mild radish.
That kind of crispy, crunchy texture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can cut it into batons and make a salad or just kind of snack on it.
It's really good. Like, why don't people put this on crudité platters?
I don't know. It's great.
I can't believe I've never eaten this before.
I feel like it's relatively unusual among white fruits and vegetables, and that it doesn't like oxidize and get weird really quickly.
This may be the perfect food.
Yep, and the other one's good too. Okay, turnips. Okay. Turnips is good. That's what we've learned so far.
Turnips is good.
Mm-hmm. That's our new T-shirt.
Okay, so tell me about them.
Okay.
Why do people think turnips isn't good? Because a lot of people think turnips isn't good.
I don't think I can answer that. I mean,
because they get really pungent in certain preparations.
They do. And certainly when I was cooking the glazed turnips that I made, the house did start to get some turnip funk.
Sometimes hold on, we'll get to this later, but sometimes I roast turnips.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're delicious, but they have this like pungent turnip flavor. And the other day I used some turnips I had in a vegetable couscous.
Oh, yeah.
Like this, you know, blend of kind of wintry vegetables. And I did not like the flavor of the turnips in them. Like there was something about the way that I cooked it, like on the stovetop. So without the kind of like blistering heat you get when you're roasting, this was like a wetter heat on the stovetop. And I did not like the way the turnips tasted. I think that they are a vegetable that needs to really be treated in a certain way.
But, I mean, the ones you just said were so good, I cooked with wet heat on the stovetop. So what do you have to say about that?
I don't know. They're really good.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think of turnips as being pretty mild, but sometimes...
I have some really pungent
pungent smelling. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you like... I mean, I cook them uncovered. Maybe
if
you cook them,
I had like an off turnip.
I mean, maybe not off. Maybe just like an assertive turnip.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to my deli, the assertive turnip? We deliver.
do deliver sass. It seems like what that's what an assertive turnip would deliver.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I did some turnip research on my favorite source of turnip information, Turnipedia.
Okay, tell me about
it. Okay, so first off, the word turnip, all of this is from Wikipedia, unless I say otherwise.
I'm ready.
The word turnip is a compound of tur, as in turned, rounded on a lathe, and neep, derived from Latin napus.
What does napus mean?
It means something in the turnip family.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So so that was super interesting so far.
Hold on. Go on to this next one. This next one's great.
Sappho calls one. There's going to be a lot of hard to pronounce words in this episode. Sappho calls one of her paramours Gongula, which means turnip. Isn't that great?
Oh my God. I'm going to start calling my paramours turnip.
Yes.
Only one of them, though.
Mm, maybe all of them, but different varieties of turnip.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so cute.
How many paramours would you say you have at any given time?
I have just one.
Okay.
Hey, do you and Lori have like food related pet names?
No, I don't think we do.
I used to have a dog named Jack, and we called him Potato, which then turned into Tater, and he was just called Tater all the time.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it was really cute, but I think we missed the boat there with the turnip, so Ash, I'm going to start calling you Turnip.
That's funny when you said miss the boat with the turnip, because something I didn't put on here was the expression, just fell off the turnip. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck.
Wait, is that how the expression goes?
That's one version of it, certainly.
What's the other version?
I don't know. Maybe that's the old. I can't think
of
it.
It's not my first time at the rodeo.
It means the same thing, I think.
As I didn't just fall off the turnip truck?
Yeah. Why a turnip truck? I think.
Should it be turnip wagon?
No, because I like the alliteration of turnip truck.
Okay,
and also,
fine.
Like, falling off the wagon means something else.
Oh,
so
that's
it could be confusing.
True. Okay. Okay. Carry on.
So consider yourself debunked.
Okay.
Pliny the Elder considered the turnip one of the most important vegetables of his day, rating it, quote, directly after cereals or at all events after the bean, since its utility surpasses that of any other plant.
Wow.
Any other plant except
the
bean and the cereals.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Carry on, Matthew. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating.
The turnip is an old vegetable charge in heraldry.
What does that mean?
So heraldry is like what goes on your crest or coat of arms, and a charge is like an element that goes on that. So apparently you could put a turnip on your coat of arms.
Wow!
What does it represent? I don't know, but I know it was used by Leonard von Kutschak, Prince Archbishop of Salzburg.
A man of taste.
Yes. And probably like he went to war with like someone with a radish coat of arms.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely someone from the Napus family.
Yeah. the Napus dynasty.
Yeah.
That ruled Europe.
Back when people spoke Latin.
Yeah. In old times.
Yeah. Okay. Go on.
Speaking of old times, from an 1881 home economics book, quote, the benefits derived from turnip husbandry are of great magnitude.
Wow. So it's more than just getting to eat turnips. It's also like...
It's also, you can marry them.
You get a companion.
Yes. That reminds me, actually, speaking of turnips in literature, there's a book by Gyo Fujikawa called Let's Grow a Garden.
Okay. This is the children's book author with the adorable illustrations.
Yes, it's an adorably illustrated children's book about growing a garden. I think the first line is something like, spring is here. Let's grow a garden full of good and tasty vegetables.
Is one of them the turnip?
One of them is the turnip. And on the last page of the book, there's a little girl cradling a turnip in her arms. And looking at it lovingly, and whenever I used to read this book to Iris when she was little, I would always pose as this little girl and say, "I love you, turnip." And she thought this was so funny.
There are few vegetables as cute as the turnip. I mean, like, what do we think?
It is cute, partly because of the name, I think.
The name is really cute. The shape is cute.
Yep.
And then it's got this, like, little purple top.
Yeah, like
a
little...
It's jaunty.
It's like a little...
it's blushing.
Tonsure? Like, is that what that's called? Like monk's haircut that's, like, shaved on top with, like, a ring? I mean, that's what it looks like because they're usually...
It's like the proto-bowl haircut.
Yes, it's like before they figured out that you could also have hair on top and then become the beat, and that's how the Beatles were born.
Wait, but hold on.
Yeah,
wait, are there any cuter vegetables? Let's just think about this. Baby bok choy is pretty
baby
cute.
Baby bok choy.
God, it's really cute.
Have I mentioned, I'm sure I've mentioned on the show before, I think we did a bok choy episode, did we? I don't remember. If we didn't, we should.
Persian cucumbers, those are pretty cute.
Those are pretty cute.
Not as cute as turnips.
One time I was in Japan, believe it or not, and saw a gachapon machine, which is like a capsule toy vending machine that had a series of figurines in a series called the Bok Choy Boys. They were like tough guys, but they were called the Bok Choy Boys. It was great.
That's adorable. Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Matthew, if you can dream it.
I can dream a lot of things.
Maybe you can dream it.
I had a dream last night that my cat had kittens and one of them was a mouse, like in Stuart Little.
Ooh, let's think about how to turn this into a website.
Okay.
I think this website is going to be called Matthew's Dream Mouse.
My veteran. It's going to be catmouse.org. It's going to be my veterinary practice. Yeah, it's a nonprofit pro bono veterinary practice for very unusual, OBGYN
and you're
gonna veterinary
dispense
services.
All kinds of useful advice, like
wisdom.
If your cat gives birth to a mouse and the mouse lives with you in a cigarette box, don't let it get rolled up in the blinds.
No.
Or if you lose it, check the blinds.
And don't let your cat chase the mouse that's its own progeny, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is all going to be so easy to do with Squarespace. I'm going to choose a template from one of over 20.
Yep.
I'm going to, add e-commerce.
Yep, so you can sell your t-shirts.
To my t-shirts, you can book my services.
Yep.
And, I'm going to get 10% off on all of it because I'm going to go to squarespace.com, sign up for a free trial, and then use the offer code SPILL at checkout for 10% off a website or a domain name.
That's squarespace.com, offer code SPILLED. Tell me about turnip lanterns.
Okay, this is where things get real scary.
Okay, I'm ready.
Turnip lanterns are an old tradition. Since inaugural Halloween festivals in Ireland and Scotland, turnips, or rutabaga, have been carved out and used as candle lanterns. At Samhain, candle lanterns carved from turnips, Samhag, were part of the traditional Celtic festival. Large turnips were hollowed out, carved with faces, and placed in windows used to ward off harmful spirits.
I'm going to bring this back this coming Halloween.
This sounds really difficult.
It sounds super difficult because turnips are like really hard
dense. And they're not as big as pumpkins.
They're not as big as pumpkins, and they don't have this skin that like wants to contain them quite the same way. Mm-hmm. So I fear that in attempting to hollow it out, well, not only could I like lose a finger,
yep.
but I...
Which would be in the spirit of the season.
But I could so easily cut through the skin.
Yeah, I mean, worse than losing a finger, you could destroy the turnip lantern.
So... Is there some sort of special tool?
A lathe, obviously.
For making Samhag? Samhag.
Salmon nog, also a classic holiday beverage.
Maybe we should have like a listener meetup in October. And we can all together carve turnip lanterns.
Great. We can, how we put
we'll have an ambulance waiting
exactly.
outside.
I was going to say, we put that donation thermometer on our website during pledge drive season. We'll have that only for how many fingers have been lost.
Okay. All right, everybody, sharpen your knives.
Okay, should we talk about cooking?
Yeah, let's talk about cooking. Okay, so can I tell you, recently I have been buying turnips because I'm kind of like, oh, they're there and I should eat these. And like, I want to expose my kid to them and all that stuff. The simplest way I cook them is to cut them in quarters. Mm-hmm. I don't peel them. Did you peel these?
The little ones? No.
Okay. I cut them in quarters and not in quarters, rather. I cut them in wedges and I roast them maybe at like 425. And I've tossed them with olive oil and maple syrup and a little bit of salt. And I think they're really nice, but they taste...
Oh, that sounds great.
They're delicious, but they taste more turnipy than these. Is this because these are those little Japanese turnips?
That could be. I think those are more mildly flavored.
These
are
the hakore
yes.
turnips.
But, I mean, when I've made similar recipes with like a cubed large turnip, it wasn't that different.
Huh. I would be really curious to... Yeah, to try. Did you get these at like the farmer's market?
I got them at Awajimaya.
Okay. So these are the little white turnips. They're smaller than most grocery store turnips.
And these were relatively large ones even.
Oh, really? And but they
it was
don't,
three to a bunch.
But they didn't have like the purple haircut.
No, they didn't have the purple tonsure.
Okay.
And I cut them into eighths.
Okay.
I prepared them according to this Anita Lowe recipe from Bon Appetit, although I threw away the greens because they were pretty dried out.
Okay.
And it's called glazed Hockeray turnips. We will link to it. And it's super simple. The only ingredients are turnips, butter, sugar, salt, and water.
It tastes like there's a lot of sugar.
There's a lot of sugar and a lot of butter. That's why they're so good.
Yeah, they're delicious. Is this a traditional Japanese preparation?
It's not.
Okay.
It's using a Japanese ingredient
The turnips.
In a European-style preparation.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I've done something similar to this with Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah, these like glazed Brussels sprouts. You cook them. You kind of like cook them in a mixture of water and butter, and then the water, butter, and sugar, and then the water evaporates off, and you're left with kind of this caramel that you toss them around.
That's
in
exactly
the skillet.
What I did.
Yes. Okay. Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's so satisfying. Like you just kind of pretty much leave them unattended until they get sticky.
Yeah.
Which is also how I raised my child.
They're super soft,
mm-hmm.
but not falling apart.
Yep.
The texture is really pleasing. The first time I ever had Hockeray turnips was at the Walrus and the Carpenter here in Seattle. And they had cut them in wedges smaller than what you've done here. And they had pan seared them and then let them kind of braise a little bit in browned butter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's something really magical about turnips and browned butter. I mean, specifically Hockeray turnips, which, Matthew, I really think that you are underestimating the type of turnip, the effect of it in this dish.
Okay.
Because I think that a regular purple top turnip, which must have a name.
It's called an RPTT. Regular purple top turnip.
Anyway, I do think it has a much more pungent flavor when cooked.
Okay, I haven't done it recently enough to say, but I have a most of a purple top tonsure turnip left, and I will try it.
Great.
And I'll forget to report back to anyone.
Perfect. So anyway, so I sometimes roast my turnips with olive oil, maple syrup, and salt. As I said recently, I did this Odo Lange winter couscous recipe.
Oh,
and actually, you know what?
Ultimate winter couscous?
Yes.
Okay.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm sorry. It's not done on the stovetop. It's done in the oven.
Oh, in like a, now the truth comes
like
out.
Like a 9x13 pan kind of thing. And you're roasting a whole bunch of different chunked up winter vegetables with spices and olive oil and stuff.
I mean, that still sounds good.
It's really good, but for some reason, the turnips just were super pungent and like not in a good way. I wound up picking them out of the entire thing of couscous.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe a listener could weigh in and tell us, like, do turnips vary that much in flavor? Was it the way I cooked it? It was in the oven at like 375.
What do you think that taught your child when she saw you picking the thing you didn't like out of the dish?
To be fair,
mm-hmm.
I did eat them all when we were sitting at the table.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went to put away the leftovers, I picked all the turnips out.
It's okay. I don't eat any better than a toddler.
Anyway, but
I
did eat the turnips because it was only by like the third or fourth one that I was like, oh, this
turnip
is
fatigue.
This is not an accident. This is what they taste like. Because the first couple times I was like, weird. Did I just like, I don't know, get like a mouthful of spices or something weird?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
Okay, yeah, listeners,
what's
going on? No, somebody cares.
So sometimes
you would think nobody cares about obscure postmodern French philosophers, but
people
they do.
As I mentioned, I'd never eaten a raw turnip until today. However, I have eaten a lot of pickled turnips, mm-hmm. which are also raw.
And that's one of the most common ways of preparing turnips in Japan.
And those are often really pungent, not in Japan, but in, I think, for instance, of this wonderful Mediterranean restaurant in Oklahoma City, which I've talked about before, Mediterranean Deli.
Okay.
No, Mediterranean Imports.
Okay. The restaurant is called Mediterranean Imports. I like that.
Yes, it's like a store that sells like olive oil, all different kinds of olives, all different kinds of feta, all these like
rattan chairs.
No. Anyway, but they also have like a little deli counter where you can get like stuffed cabbage rolls and dolmas and mujadra. Anyway, if you order one of their like platters, they have these like pickled turnips that are dyed pink.
Oh, nice.
On the platter, but they're super pungent. They're really, really pungent. I don't enjoy them. They get very spicy.
I have had Japanese turnips pickled with like fresh grape juice.
Uh-huh.
And they turn like purple, and those are really good.
Mm.
Okay, so we've covered roasting. No, mm-hmm. we haven't. Did we talk? Yeah, we talked about roasting, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever roast them?
Yeah, absolutely. Like just kind of my standard roasted vegetable method, oven at 450, toss them with olive oil and salt.
Yeah.
And cut into chunks.
I love the texture of them.
Yeah.
It's almost this texture like apples get in like a tart tatin.
It is, yes.
It's like this, you can tell there's a lot of water in turnips.
Mm-hmm.
They get this softness to them, this velvety texture, and it's very pleasant.
Yeah. They got kind of a juiciness.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And I don't have a much experience with mashed or bashed turnips.
Me neither.
Which are the Scottish dish of potatoes and turnips mashed together, which is called tatties and neeps.
It's so cute.
It's great.
Why don't we give things better names? I mean, we've just got like mac and cheese.
I don't know. Maybe people in Scotland think mac and cheese is a cute name.
Maybe.
Scottish listeners, please weigh in. Yeah.
Christoph and Gemma.
Yes.
Please let us know. We know you're out there. This episode is brought to you by Grove.
Grove is a company that makes it easy to get the non-toxic cleaning products that you want for your home. The stuff you already buy, plus other cool stuff. And they make sure you never run out.
And the thing is, usually, if you're anything like me, you've got to run around all these different stores to get the products you want. The Toms of Maine thing, the Seventh Generation thing, the Mrs. Myers thing. Grove has it all in one place.
Yeah, forget that. They're going to send you one box with all the stuff that you love, including some of their own brand stuff. And it is a very efficiently packed box. I appreciated this.
It's like, very pleasing.
Yes, it's a small box that has so much cool stuff in it.
Yeah, none of those big air pillows.
And you're going to specify which stuff you want. You know, it's not a random assortment of stuff. It's the products that you know and love, and try some of their stuff because it's really great.
Yeah. So sign up for Grove Collaborative at grove.co/spilledmilk, and you'll get $30 Mrs. Myers gift set for free with your order of $20 or more.
That's grove.co, not grove.com. grove.co/spilledmilk. How about turnip greens? What's your opinion?
So once again, the only time I've had turnip greens was when I had those brown butter Hakurei turnips mm-hmm. at the Walrus and the Carpenter, and they were fantastic.
Yeah,
the greens.
Turnip greens. The Hakurei turnips have more tender greens.
Yes.
Like the real like thick and gnarly turnip greens.
I've not eaten those.
I have, and they're like the green that you have to stew the longest, kind of, and they're real rustic.
Does it feel like I'm eating this like to get in touch with my roots? Is it that kind of feeling?
Like literal roots? Was that
like old times?
Yeah, like old, you know, timey. Like yeah,
waste not, want not.
Exactly.
We're on the pioneer. Paw is building our log cabin.
Yeah, when I was reading about turnips,
we're on
and
the pioneer.
What did you just say?
I said we're on the pioneer, didn't I?
We're on the
frontier.
Yeah,
and Paw is building the log cabin.
Oh, Paw is. I'm like, pause. Like, what kind of paws are you talking about?
Paw like is bear building paws? The log cabin. Cabin, and there are wolves that howl at night.
Yep. It's a long winter.
We don't have glass up in the windows of the log cabin yet, and we're stewing our turnip greens.
Did they have glass in the windows of the log cabin?
Yes, they said that they could travel to Independence, which was the nearest town.
Okay.
It was like 40 miles away, and they could get glass for the windows. By the way, talking about Little House on the Prairie.
Really? Oh, I thought you were talking about your childhood in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's just what it was like in Oklahoma
that
in the 80s,
back
right?
When we used to ride cows to school.
Uh-huh. And milk them on the way.
Yeah. We Oklahoma children have very long arms.
Let's talk about rutabagas, shall we?
Okay.
Like,
Why are we talking about rutabagas? They're not turnips.
They're almost the same thing.
No, they're not. They taste cabbagey. These taste radishy.
Yeah, I understand. So a rutabaga is a cross between a turnip and a cabbage. Right? Is that what I said here?
I don't know.
Okay, yes, it's an ancient cabbage turnip cross. There's a lot of overlap in how they look, how they're used. There are like yellow turnips that look kind of like rutabagas. You know, on the whole, yes, rutabagas are larger, more orangey, and more cabbagey tasting, But I mean, if you're trying to make out like they're a totally different thing, I don't think so.
Oh my God, you just did this like sassy head flip thing.
I was flipping.
I don't think so.
I was flipping the hair that I
that you
believe
used to
I have.
Have.
Right. Okay. I'm flipping ghost hair. I once, in my very first band in college, I wrote a song about rutabagas.
I thought you wrote a song about ghost hair.
Oh, that would have been a good song. This was a bad song, but I'm pretty sure I have a recording of it, so I'm just going to try and drop it into the episode right here.
So what was the song?
Oh, it was like... This was kind of the height of the 90s.
The rutabaga popularity.
Yes, when, you know, remember when the Billboard top 10 was like 70% songs about rutabagas and other root vegetables? There was I Love You Turnip by Madonna.
Imagine Casey Kasem announcing these. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, in its 43rd week at number one.
On the pop charts.
We've got the Turnip Blues. I'm Casey Kasem.
And this is Bruce Springsteen with Parsnip in the Dark. Yeah, so it was like I kind of had the idea that based on some of the songs that I'd been listening to, that you really don't have to write lyrics. You could just kind of toss in whatever words come to mind, and that was the word that came to mind.
So you just said rutabaga a whole bunch?
No, there was more to it. It's a very bad song, and we're going to play a little bit of it.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
If I can find it.
I can't wait. Okay, wait, hold on. Isn't there a children's book or something called like the Rutabaga Stories?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Okay, listeners, let us know? I feel like it's like by Roald Dahl or something like that. I'm pretty sure my dad read this to me.
If this book was written by a French philosopher, I'm going to be so angry.
My dad really loved rutabagas.
Okay.
I remember always thinking of them as like a dad food.
Yeah, it seemed like a dad veg.
Yeah.
So I did a little research on rutabagas. Would you like to hear what I found out?
Yeah.
Because it's mostly words that I don't know how to pronounce.
Perfect. I'm ready.
Okay, rutabagas are sometimes called Swedes or neeps, but so are turnips.
Okay.
Rutabagas are closely associated with Scandinavia.
Okay.
So I learned that in Finland, which I know is not part of Scandinavia.
Disclaimer.
They make a Christmas casserole called lantulatiko.
Ooh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. In Sweden and Norway, this is according to Wikipedia.
Okay.
In Sweden and Norway, rutabaga is cooked with potato and sometimes carrot and mashed with butter and either stock or occasionally milk or cream to create a puree called rotmos.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Which is Swedish for root mash.
Oh, perfect.
Or kålrabistappe. That's Norwegian.
Okay. Wow. That sounds like kohlrabi. Are they related?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is making so much sense to me.
I believe a kohlrabi is a Brassica oleracea, which is part of the rutabaga cross.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you wanted to know.
Thank you.
In Norway, kålrabistappe is an obligatory accompaniment to many festive dishes, including some of your favorites like smalahove, pinnekjøtt, raspeball, and salted herring.
Wow, Matthew, this is great.
Uh-huh.
So do people ever eat rutabaga raw?
I think it's woodier than a turnip, but I think you could.
Yeah. I wonder if it would be kind of like eating like a raw potato or something, though. Like, that's really, like, nobody looks at a, well, maybe they do, a raw sweet potato and was like, that's something I'm going to eat.
Nobody looks at a potato the way I look at a potato.
Nobody looks at a potato.
Nobody looks at my potato, goddammit. What would you have hypothesized about the texture of raw turnip before trying it?
I think I would have thought that it was a little woodier than it is. It's so radishy.
I know.
It's really lovely.
Okay, so
I really want some ranch dressing to dip it in.
Yeah, that does sound good.
That sounds nice.
I don't even like ranch dressing, and that sounds right.
Do you like any creamy dressing?
No.
Blue cheese dressing?
No.
No.
Do I like anything?
What about Caesar dressing?
Yeah, I do like Caesar dressing.
Okay.
All right. Do you have anything else to add about turnips, rutabagas, kohlrabi?
I'm still upset that you brought rutabagas into this.
That I brought the rutabaga into our relationship.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad we did a turnip episode. I feel like I'm learning a lot. And I
think there's a lot we didn't cover because we don't know about it.
Yeah. And I think that we will have some listeners who will be able to tell us about the way that the flavor of a turnip is changed by different preparation methods.
Say the way that the flavor of a turnip has changed over time, like since the 80s.
Yeah. No, the way that it's changed in different preparations.
What do people ride to school today in Oklahoma City?
The way that it's changed in different preparations.
Okay. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post a link to this Anita Lowe glazed Hockeray turnips recipe.
You know, we should also post a link to the Anita Baker song, Rapture.
Okay. Which is like Rapa is Latin for turnips, right?
Oh,
I think so.
Didn't you just tell us?
Brassica rapa.
Well, you just said, wait, that's Latin for turnips. You just told us what turnip was.
I said Napa, but that's like for, it's a broader term, I think.
Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure rapa is Latin for turnips and is also, maybe the words turnip and rapture come from the same root. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast and on Instagram at spilledmilkpodcast.
I was also going to say that we are now on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
So you can find us on anywhere that you can find podcasts. But if you are a Spotify devotee, you can now find us there, too.
Yeah. An episode of Spilled Milk might pop up in your like shuffle, like, you know, play my favorite stuff playlist on Spotify, like right between Anita Baker and what were you listening to the other day that was so good? The Commodores?
Oh, yeah. Night Shift.
Yeah.
It's the perfectly engineered food product of songs.
Yeah, if our show came on between those two songs, you would say our show is very bad.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
By comparison.
Yes.
Until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Bringing our tatties and neeps to you every week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where Matthew tells me to shut up.
Woo! Hot off the top.
Okay.
No, we just sat down with some turnips, which is the subject of this week's episode. And before we started...
Oh, wait, did I tell you to shut... I think I told you to shut up.
I think I told you to shut up.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway...
I mean, to be fair, this happened so long ago.
Yeah. 40 seconds ago. I can't even
And Molly
remember.
Started eating the turnips that I cooked for the turnip episode and was like, ooh, these are good. How did you make these? And I said, why don't we start a podcast about how we make things and we can talk about it on that. It was a pretty...
You were so sassy.
It was, yeah. I
loved it, actually.
I sassed.
Okay, great. So...
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.